Do you ever want to dive deeper into the Bible, but you just don't know where to begin or struggle to even feel like you have the time? When you read the Bible, do you get frustrated because you know there's so much more in there, you just have no clue how to get it out? Or maybe you simply want to know the Bible better and you are looking for any resource to help. Well, then this is the podcast for you. Welcome to the Context and Color of the Bible podcast. We are two sisters. I'm Erica.
I'm Veronica.
We love to study the Bible, and we love to help others study the Bible. When it comes to our own study of Scripture, we have found that in bringing back the context of Scripture, it actually adds to our understanding. It adds color to the black and white pages of the text. Hello, Veronica.
Hey, Er.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Good.
It's not too cold in your basement today.
I've got the heater on.
I have my winter jacket right behind me, though.
Yes.
So last week we did table fellowship.
Yes.
This week we're covering the Shema.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we're doing Hesed.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I do have that in my notes.
I was like,
yes, that's right. We are doing
momentary
Hesed.
Panic in mine. It's like, yeah. And then we're going to do... The week after that, we're going to do kind of a fun little top 10.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the plan from here on out for the next couple weeks.
Right.
But today, let's jump into the Shema.
Shema Yisrael.
You want to keep going?
Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And then I know the rest of the song. I can't do the rest of the verse.
I'm impressed to hear her speaking it when she sings it.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard to switch it from singing.
From singing to speaking.
Yes. So what that is actually three different chunks of verses.
The Shema.
Yes. It is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 21. And Numbers 15, verses 37 through 41.
And we're going to let our listeners look up
those last
two.
The Deuteronomy 11 and Numbers 15.
Right.
Because what we want to do is, this is a central theme, declaration, statement of the Jewish faith, both in Jesus' day and I would say today.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Just making sure I'm. Okay. Because what it is it's an essential declaration. This is one of the big things. Every Jew in Jesus' day would recite it twice a day. In the morning and at night, because it was a recommitment of oneself to the one true God of Israel. Because if you remember, in those days, there was many gods. Israel was surrounded by a land with many gods, Canaanite gods, Egyptian gods. And so what the Jewish Publication Society commentary said, you're taking that holy name of God,
tetragram.
Yes. Something like that.
The YHWH.
Yes.
Yahweh.
Yahweh is how we would say it.
How we pronounce it.
It really says Yahweh our God, Yahweh one.
Yes.
So in the English, we add in the word is.
Yep.
But essentially, you are saying Yahweh alone is God.
Mm-hmm. Hence the declaration.
Yes. You're admitting this God, Yahweh, is the one above every other god.
Because if you're looking at a polytheistic culture to declare my God, this God is higher, that's a big statement.
Mm-hmm. So it's the Lord our God. The Lord is one. So you've got multiple assets. The Lord alone is God, and the Lord is one. There is only one God.
Right.
And so David Bivin says, this is regarded by the Jews as the supreme affirmation of God's oneness and uniqueness.
Hence the fact they still recite it.
Right. This sets God apart from every other God.
Right.
It is, he exclusively is the one God.
Right.
And you see that then, I want, as you start reading through different verses, looking for that idea that the Lord alone, the Lord is one, because you see it in Isaiah 2, verse 11, which says, the haughty looks of man shall be brought low, And the lofty pride of men shall be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. So that idea, the Lord alone, you will see that throughout scripture then.
Mm-hmm. And in a Isaiah way, 40s are huge. Is it? Oh, yeah.
So it's always tying back this declaration of faith. Right. This is a big deal.
Right.
And so what it does then, so you make this declaration of faith. It's the Lord alone.
Right.
He's exclusive. He's set apart. There's no one like him. And then it tells you ways to live it out. And it reminds you then, if you look at Deuteronomy 11 and Numbers 15, it reminds you of the blessings that come from the obedience. So it talks about the rain. So go look and read later about the blessings that come from obeying.
Rain as in rain that falls from the sky. Yes. That God will feed your land.
Yes.
Because we need rain.
Yeah, rain is an important, rain right. is a blessing.
Right.
When you think about what comes because we get rain. Lois Tverberg says, because you know God is the one true God, you should love the Lord with all your heart.
Should is the key word right there, sadly.
But if we go, you are the one true God.
Right.
Then what do I do with that? It's more than just a declaration. It's more than just a statement or a fact. It should prompt you to act.
Is it a call to action?
I would say so. I didn't, and nobody put it in that way.
Right.
But I think as we go through and talk through the words, each of those words is a call to action.
Because right now you're going through Deuteronomy 6 verses yep. 4 through 9.
Yep.
So we started with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Yes.
Kay. Yes.
Because what you're going to do, because you're going to act lovingly
right.
and loyally towards God. That's your goal.
Yes. Yeah.
And Deuteronomy is now going to spell out how to do that.
These because verses. if he is God alone, he deserves it.
Right.
And if he's a good God, I want to do it.
Right. So.
But how do I do it?
Right. So that's kind of why this is an important
right.
declaration of faith. Why you will see this then in the New Testament popping up. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that towards the end of the podcast. But now let's break down each of those words. I just agreed with you that they're called. Each word is almost a call to action. So let's talk about that.
In verse 5, we're going to break down the words.
Yes, but we're going to start with the word Shema.
Oh, right.
Because that actually is the first.
That's the call to action.
That's the call to action. That word Shema, which then gets applied to all these verses.
Right.
That word Shema is the word hear.
Right.
Or also it's translated as obey.
Yes. Yes.
Because let's really think about it. If I'm asking my kids, do you hear me? Are you listening?
Yep. Yes.
What am I really? Am I asking? Are the sound waves penetrating?
Right.
Sometimes I don't think the sound waves are penetrating right. the eardrum and traveling along the audio, the auditory nerve.
Right. Or there's nothing in there right. when it does travel.
And I've yes. had their hearing all tested. Only one can claim a hearing loss. Because that's the so point funny. Is, if you hear me, you should do something.
Yes. It reminds me, and it is in the Chronicles of Narnia. It's the book, The Horse Googled and His it. Boy. I did Google it because I'm like, this drives me crazy. But they use the phrase, to hear is to obey.
Oh.
It's in The Horse and His Boy in Tashban.
Okay.
That's the phrase they use.
Oh.
To okay. hear is to obey. But that is such a Middle Eastern
right.
idea. If I hear you, I will act on it.
Right.
I will obey what I'm hearing.
Right. And so, because the idea is it implies, yes, you're hearing, but it's implying taking action.
Right.
Or taking heed. You're going to do something.
Because if I don't do something, obviously it's because I didn't hear right. it. Right.
All parents think that.
Yeah.
if so I'm true. Talking to you.
Yes.
If I tell you to pick up the plate.
Right.
Do it.
Right.
Don't make me say it 5 times.
20 times.
I know. But we even get that in James. James 1 verse 22.
Right.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says.
James is such a good Jewish boy.
I know, which is why Martin Luther didn't like him.
Right.
But we're not going to get off track. Right.
Okay. Don't go.
So that's the first word. The title Shema right. for all these verses is taken from the first word of Deuteronomy 6 4.
Right.
Now, Erica, let's jump down
okay.
to verse 5.
You know, it's interesting to hear is to obey the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It doesn't seem like there's anything to obey in right. that first line, but it comes up in the next verse. Mm-hmm. Here's what you obey. Here's what you do. You shall love, verse 5, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 says, you shall love the Lord your God. Okay.
Love the Lord your God. Let's look at that word love.
Right.
Oh, you know what I didn't do it to start with?
What?
I didn't ask you the question where the first time in the Bible speaks of loving God.
You're right. I did not
That's
know this.
How I was going to open up. And I skipped it. Aww. But so let me ask the question. Where is the first time the Bible speaks of loving God?
I did not know this.
I was floored, and Erica even Googled it to check
I
me.
Did. I looked it up on Bible Gateway.
I got it from JPS, the Jewish Publication Society commentary, which says this is the first time you see speaking of loving God.
And because in Genesis, it talks about the love of God, but it's God's love towards right? Adam. I mean, towards Abraham, towards people.
Right.
This is the first time it's man loving God.
JPS says every other time before this. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers.
Yeah.
It's been reverence for God.
That's what people are feeling.
That's what people have felt and have been called to have.
Interesting.
So I am totally open up to if people go, no, I can think of a different verse before Deuteronomy 6, 5.
Let us know.
Yeah, let me know because I am taking it from one commentary.
I looked it up on
quick
Bible Gateway.
Search, so.
Right.
But up until this point, it's been reverence God. Now you're called to love the Lord your God.
Right.
And what we need to remember is Hebrew words for those feelings regularly have actions that go with it.
Huh. Action. Again, really?
Do something. Hmm. And that's what I'm saying. Almost each word has a call to action.
Right.
So how do we love the Lord? Now if you'll keep reading.
With all your heart.
All right, we'll stop there.
I figured I wasn't going to keep going.
Okay, clearly the heart is not the, everyone would know this and agree. It's not the pumping muscle in your body that keeps your blood going.
That's what I thought my heart was.
It is, but in the Bible, it's not. It's the seat of your thought, your intentions, and your feelings. Yes.
Okay.
She's pondering.
I'm pondering. Nope, keep going.
Okay. So the heart is the seat of your thought, your intentions, and your feelings. Lois Tverberg asks the question, so then what does it look like to love God with a happy heart or a sad heart, a mourning heart, and an angry heart?
It's weird to think of the heart being the seat of my thoughts.
I know.
That's a different idea.
It is, but I kept seeing it as I was researching.
No, I know, I know, I know, I believe you. It's just a different concept. Right.
But so loving God with a happy heart looks different than loving God with a mourning heart.
Right.
Because a happy heart is going to love God, I think, differently in a way than a mourning heart does.
Hmm.
Or an angry heart. To me, the angry heart is the one that's really going to look different.
Right.
What does it look like when I love God with all of those? Because it's not about emotions and feelings.
Right. But sometimes, but I think when I think about loving my husband, because I don't always feel love.
Right.
When I'm angry, I still do the same thing. Or I should.
Right.
As when I feel the emotion.
Right.
So like even when I feel anger towards my husband, I'm still going to make him dinner. I'm still going to mm-hmm. do his laundry. And I might mm-hmm. say like, I love you. I'm frustrated.
Right. I'm still going to go for a walk with you.
Right.
Even though I'm frustrated right now.
Right.
Just a quieter walk.
Right.
Yes. But so that's the heart.
Hmm.
Then what's next? Love the Lord your God with all your heart.
With all your soul.
All right. So the soul is your seat of emotions.
I thought the heart was the so kind heart. Of both.
The heart was your feelings.
What's the difference between feelings
sure.
and emotion?
I wasn't thinking about how they seem similar. But the soul, they said, is the seat of your emotions, your passions, and your desires.
So the heart's more like your mind, and the soul is more like...
Your heart?
Your heart? Would that be the way?
Or your inclinations. They had different... Well, each commentary had a few different words.
Interesting.
To break it down. But ultimately, what you get... heart, soul, however you want to define what they mean.
Right.
It's everything. It's the totality of a person.
Okay.
It's your intentions, your inclinations, your thoughts, your feelings, your intentions, your desires.
So how do I love God with my mind? How do I love God with my emotions? How do I love God with my hands, with my mouth, with my feet?
Everything I have.
With my house.
It should, well, we're not to that one.
Oh, yet. We're not to, sorry, never mind. No, with me, with me person.
Everything with me needs to be loving God.
With my eyes, with my ears.
Yes. As I'm loving God, it will come out in my emotions. It will come out in my thoughts. It should be evident.
When you prick me, this is what I bleed.
Yes.
When you squeeze me, this is what comes out.
Yes. So now this, the next word is not always recited or repeated in the New Testament.
Right.
So what's the next word? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul.
With all your might.
With all your might. Some say strength.
Yeah.
And it's this one, this word's kind of tricky. And that's what I'm saying. Like in the New Testament, you don't always see.
Sometimes he puts a different word in.
Right. It's the Hebrew word meod, M-E-O-D.
Meod, I think.
Not meod? Sure how to pronounce it.
I don't think it's me. I think it's me. Okay.
M-E-O-D. And the first time it shows up is Genesis 1, verse 31, where God saw in it was very good.
And it's the word.
It's the word very.
Right there.
And then you see it again. You see it all throughout. Then you would see Genesis 4 where Cain was very angry. And then it's used 300 times in the Old Testament. Most of those, and I didn't count to have a percentage, have to do with the idea of very. It's an adjective in a way. Adding oomph to the noun.
But on this one, it's on its own. There is no noun with it.
It is. So Strong's Concordance defines it, gives it the English word muchness, force, or abundance.
I like that word muchness.
I know.
Is that a real word?
I'm not sure, but muchness. The JPS commentary also used muchness.
Muchness.
Or exceedingly.
Love God with your muchness or exceedingly.
Or love God with your heart and your soul exceedingly.
Oh, muchness. So
we're giving more oomph to that.
Oh, interesting.
JPS then also added in wealth or possessions.
With everything.
Everything you have.
Anything in your sphere.
Mm-hmm. If you're going to love God with your force,
yeah,
with your abundance, it's everything at your fingertips. In your body and out of your body that you have, love God. Basically, it's your undivided devotion.
Because God is one.
Because he is one, because he alone is God.
I have to love him with everything.
Yes.
Okay.
Because he is alone, exclusive.
Right.
And I want to.
Right.
This is how I'm going to do it.
And so this is what the Jewish people are reciting morning and night.
It's their reminder. Their call to action every day. Here's what I'm going to do today.
Which totally makes sense because the Bible says, choose you today whom you will serve. So when you get up in the morning, the first thing you should think about is, I am called to love this God who's God alone with all that I am today.
With every decision I make.
Everything. With my muchness.
If I want to show God everything, my love, everything I can.
Today.
Is going to be to him.
Today.
Today.
And then tomorrow, I do it again.
Yep. Yep. And then at the end of the day, when I say it, I don't know if they're doing this, but you kind of go, is it a reflection back?
Yeah.
How did I do?
Yeah.
You know, so tomorrow I know I've got
to I get to try again. Yeah.
But then, Erica, what's next? Love the Lord your God.
With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them.
Stop there. On your heart. That means, Erica said it earlier, if you prick me, this is what I bleed. I need to follow and understand.
Right.
Because, think about it. Psalm 119. Says, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. What's coming out of my mouth?
God's commands.
God's command. God's love. Who he is.
Right.
Lois Tverberg says, Westerners, like us, like to stress what's in their minds.
Yes.
Hebrews understand what we put in our hearts transforms our lives.
So true.
So what I'm going to focus on, what I'm going to think about, what I'm going to do,
right,
why I'm doing it, transforms my life.
We are having a bit of a fight with one of our kids because we are making our children learn Hebrew. It's just part of the school curriculum. And the
Van Heitsma high school.
The Van Heitsma school curriculum. And I have one child that just lately has been balking at it. And for several different reasons. One of them is they're doing it with a sibling and it's creating some tension.
I always love asking afterwards which child is it.
But
one
of the questions that came up at the dinner table last night was, why are you making me learn Hebrew? Mm-hmm. And so many different thoughts went through my brain, but one of them was simply because then you will get stuff like this.
Right.
It will make sense to you when you read it. You'll go, oh, this is what I'm being called to. Because we miss so much in the English. When I read, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, it's like, okay, like my heart, my soul,
whatever.
Mm-hmm. But to break it down like this, it's very convicting.
Yes. But this is why I said, I told you we need to do this because we're trying to hit some foundational holes we've had.
Right.
Which is why Hesed is next up next week.
Right.
Because that's a YouTube video.
Right.
But this to me is a foundational declaration in something you're actually going to see throughout scripture.
Yes. Yes.
And I didn't realize it until I started studying it, of the idea of the Lord is one, the Lord is alone.
I've been listening to a podcast on Romans, and the author's it's a message, not a podcast. And he's been bringing in how part of Paul's argument is because of the Shema.
Oh, yeah.
Because God is one. God's people are to be one. Mm-hmm. So it's everywhere.
Because then, but here's the thing. So God alone is one. Love him. And then as you're loving him, what are you going to do? Can you go to the next part of the verse?
Teach it to your children.
Yes. You have a target audience, your children.
Which is really, really hard.
Yeah, because they're the ones who see everything.
And go, you weren't loving God right there, Mom.
No, was that loving God when you were yelling at me and lost
your temper? Yes, it was. Trust me.
But the idea of teach it, talk about it. But here, and do it to everybody. It needs to be, so maybe you don't have children.
Right, right.
And it needs to just be flowing out. But if you have children, you have a specific target audience.
But all of us have a sphere of influence.
Yes.
Whether we have children or not,
right,
all of us have a sphere of influence.
Right.
They're your people.
Mm-hmm. Because truthfully, if I teach it to the children,
right,
and the children grab it and get a hold of it,
they will in turn teach it
to their children. Right. That's the whole idea. We are doing this partly because there's another generation coming up.
Yes.
That needs to know.
Yep.
And so that's what it is. I mean, you see this all through Proverbs.
Yes.
My son, listen to my words. Proverbs is all that. Father talking to the son. Here's the wisdom.
Right.
So you don't have to be biological.
Right.
It can be, I'm the older person speaking into the younger person. Here's the wisdom you need.
Right.
And the first thing you need to know is it's God alone.
Right.
And he is God.
Yes.
Yeah. And then that will affect everything else. And yes, it will all fall into place.
Yep.
Yeah. So then, when do you teach it, Erica?
When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise.
Essentially, wherever you are and at all times.
Whenever the opportunity arises.
Yes. Engage the opportunity as it presents itself. Hmm. Because that, I mean, and that's what Proverbs does. It's like, come,
right,
whatever you're doing, look at this situation, see it. And truthfully, if you're a parent and you have kids, you are engaging situations
constantly.
Not necessarily biblical, but you're, did you see that? That we don't do that. Did you see that? Oh, I liked that. I want that, you know, that behavior. I mean, teachers do that in the classroom. You reward the good behavior. You point out, here's what needs to be different.
Right.
But it's engage. This is not, hey, yes, set apart time every night to have family or in the morning, family prayer time, family devotions. But don't limit it just to that.
Right, because if it's not followed up during the day,
right,
then it is going to feel like this is a, well, we do it just at night. God is for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or an hour on Sunday morning.
Right.
You know, okay, maybe you don't do family devotions. And that's
Fine.
Yeah. But the point is, it's not just relegated to one specific time.
Right.
Of the day, of the night, of the week.
It's all the
it's
time.
It's all the time.
But if I love God with my muchness,
right,
it's going to come out all the time.
It should be coming out all the time.
Right.
All right. So, oh. And then he says, and because God is so amazing and he knows we're going to forget.
Right.
What does he say next?
Bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, which the Jewish people have taken those two verses very literally.
But what, I mean, what would it do, those of you who put, you know, Joshua 24:15.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah, I had that in my house in Soldotna in Alaska. It's just a reminder. It's in a way also a declaration to everyone who walks into my house.
Yes.
What I'm doing.
Yeah.
What I would like to be doing, what I want you to see me doing.
Right.
Because I just go, the more, truthfully, the more reminders I have.
Yes.
The better.
Yes.
I do it remembering what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Brian writes things on his hands all the time. And it's so funny because I'll grab his hand and I'll read it and I'll be like, what are we remembering now? Because it also invites conversation.
That's true.
You know, yeah. He doesn't always have reminders on his hand. So when he does.
You're like, okay, what are you remembering?
Because half the time I have to help him remember anyway. Oh.
Right.
But it's the idea of put the reminders around.
Right.
Because you know what? Sometimes those are the things that go, oh, yeah.
Right.
So as you're walking out the door, hey, here's what I want to go as I go out into the world.
Right.
Remember, you know, maybe I'm even having a hard day and I'm going out into the world and it's like, I need to remember God is God alone.
Right.
And he is God.
Well, you have people that put like strings on their fingers mm-hmm. or on their wrists to remind them of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do this ourselves, right. Like you said.
So God says, hey, just go ahead and do it.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
So that's the first part of the Shema. The probably and truthfully the most common.
Most known
yeah. verses, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9.
Yep.
Now what I want later is everyone to read Deuteronomy 13. Nope.
Sorry. 11, isn't it?
Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 through 21. In Numbers 15, verses 37 through 41, and see what the rest of the Shema says, because mm-hmm. it talks about tassels and the blessings that come from obedience.
Right.
Ask yourself, is this a blessing? Is this another way to remind yourself?
Right.
I think, truthfully, they didn't recite the Numbers 15 part in the evening.
Oh.
Because you were taking the tassels off, not putting them on.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
But now. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 39. Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment?
And he says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, mm-hmm. with all your strength, I think.
I think he leaves strength out.
He says something.
Does he?
Yeah, now you got to look it up.
But while she's looking it up, but again, now you can go, okay, here's why he said it. Because if you do this, if you know it's God alone, and here's how you're going to act it out, it's going to affect everything you do.
So the ESV says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I knew there was a difference there.
Yeah.
So, but the idea is.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. It's the same word. But this is why it's the greatest commandment.
Yeah.
If you do it, it's going to affect every single thing you do. You don't need all the other commandments then.
Right. You would fulfill them all if you did this one.
Mm-hmm. And then love your neighbor as yourself.
Because Paul even says, to sum up the Torah, is love. Love God, love your neighbor.
Yeah. Because if you do it, then everything
you fulfill
else,
everything.
Everything else falls under these two categories.
Hmm.
And so now I want to go to Zechariah 14:9.
Mm-hmm.
Because we go, here's where we are today.
Yep.
But also Eric and I have been realizing it's also about where are we going?
Yeah.
What do we have to look forward to?
Yeah.
Do you have that, Eric?
I do. Yep.
Okay.
And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one and his name one.
So if we're heading that way, let's start practicing it now. Let's get it in our heads now. He is king.
Right.
And he will be king over all the earth one day. And he will be one and his name one. Hopefully now you see those prophecies and you go, oh.
Right.
I can relate it back to Deuteronomy. I know what the plan is.
Right.
Because truthfully, if I know I want to be able, let's say I want to be able to do 5 pull-ups by the end of the year. I know I can't do 5 pull-ups right now.
Reaching hard, aren't you, Ron? Sorry. Sorry.
Trying to speak honestly.
Yeah, I can't. So, nope. I can hang there, but I can't pull up.
If I wanted to do 1 pull-up, I have to start now.
Right.
You know, if you go, this is where I'm heading, start practicing it now.
Right.
So if I know the Lord is one, and I know that he will be king over all, let's start teaching that, talking about it today.
Right.
Because I need to love the Lord, because he is God alone. He is supreme, exclusive from everything else. In every other God you could even put him up against.
Right.
He's so far.
Different. Unique. Mm-hmm. Holy.
Uh-huh. All those words we've talked about.
Right.
But that's it. Hopefully now you go, oh, the Shema, I'd like to...
Read it. Recite it.
Yes, it is a good one to recite. Mm-hmm. But then if you're going to recite it, you need to understand, and whoever you're reciting with, you need to understand what you're saying when you say it.
Right.
I mean, it's good just surface, but let's understand it a little bit more. Right. Why are we doing this?
Right.
So.
Wow, that was really good. Thank you.
Yep.
Very convicting.
Thanks for joining us. This is the Context and Color of the Bible. And as always, we would love to hear what you think. And maybe I'm thinking on social media, if I can get your children to agree.
I will get them.
Or to force them.
To sing
the Shema in Hebrew.
It's like the first that line with a second line to it. A little chant I learned years ago in Israel. So
it's fun. But as always, like and subscribe and share this podcast with someone else. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.